I'm hot just because of the humidity. Yes. All right. Yep, here's the mic I'll bring down. Right here. So we can have others read as well. Good morning. Welcome to Florence Baptist Church. I'm glad that you are here. Brother Tuck said that he was not going to be able to make it because his wife's family has a medical emergency. So she took off and left Tuck there, and he doesn't know what's going on. So he said he doubts if he'll make it because he can't drive. He's going to try to be here for Sunday morning. So we'll see what happens. But Tuck's not here. Yes, you got to. Good. Okay. Yes. All right. Oh, praise the Lord. Wow. Yes. Good. Yep. And for Tuck. And then Chuck's not here this morning. He might be here a little bit later. Norm, he won't be here till tonight if he comes. He's been very sick too and struggling. And then the church, Berean Baptist Church, one of their men in the church has come down with cancer, and I guess it spreads throughout his body, and they're really praying for him. I don't know who he is. Berean Baptist Church. Yeah, you're Berean Baptist Church. Across town, that's right here, the one Jane was attending to. What's that? And Santan Valley. So, yeah. Yep, they're praying for here, finding a pastor, and he knows Pastor Hughes, and yeah. Yeah, connected. So, yes. So the church is struggling, and one of their main men in the church has come down with cancer, and he's in the hospital right now with chemo going on. So, and that's tough because pastor can't go see him. None of the family can go see him because of everything going on. So yes. Yes. Not for sure, no. Yeah. Yes, okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, so let's look to the Lord in word of prayer then real quick. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and how you meet our needs. You understand our struggles, our trials, and you know what's taken place even before it happens. Father, I pray for this dear loved one. They're at Berean Baptist Church. They found out he has cancer. Father, I pray that you will give the surgeons wisdom and guide their hands and allow them to be able to get all the cancer to through the therapy and all the things that they're going to work with. Just be with the family and comfort them during this very difficult time. I thank you for Lila and coming through on surgery, and she's coming home. We just pray that you will protect her. There won't be any complications, but that she'll be able to come home, that she'll grow stronger, that she will not fall back in any way, but that she'll grow stronger, be able to walk around and to be able to do the things that she so desperately wants to do. I pray for this evangelist up in Colorado. I pray that you will guide in that situation. I pray that the surgery has gone well. They're able to get all the cancer and that she will be free from cancer soon. And Father, we'll praise you for that as well. Be with us this hour. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Today we're going to look at the body of Christ, being the body of Christ. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you see a reference here in your notes, it's the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So when you see a V and numbers, that's just the verses, but it's always in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These notes are also found on the internet. They're on the website, and so you could bring those up, as well as the notes for each service Sunday night. We still have two more. I think there's possibly be three, maybe four more lessons on Sunday night dealing with our shepherd staff, Savior's tool in admonishing faithful followers. So you can look up those notes on on the internet as well and be able to find those. But here today, we're going to be looking at being Spirit-filled. Remember, our message Sunday morning is knowing and living God's will. And the Bible shares with us clearly that we can know God's will. We can clearly know His will. First of all, you must be born again. Secondly, Spirit-filled. And so we're going to be looking at this morning on being Spirit-filled. And I thought that this lesson here, as I work it out, is going to work out wonderfully for being Spirit-filled, because we're going to look at the spiritual gifts. And so let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And as you notice on the notes, there are several verses to read, and they're all right here in the notes, so you could read those from there. And we have a mic down there for you to read. And but I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31. Real quick here. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So each one of us, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at that here today. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. That's an interesting word, dumb idols. That's probably, they're dumb, but also they can't speak, can't do anything. Here in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So there are some people who say, well, as soon as someone says Jesus is the Lord, that they are saved. And you might have heard of easy believism. Hey, Brother Will, there's notes right there on the table. You just passed it for our Sunday school hour. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So there you go. There you go. Well, good to see you, Will. Thanks for coming. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm now in verse 3. And so some people, you might have heard of easy believism. They just go down the street, shake someone's hand, and say, do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And they say, yes, I believe Jesus is Lord. And say, well, congratulations, you're now a part of the family of God. You're saved. And they walk away, and they count that as a convert. That is easy believism. There has to be a point where you understand that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you're headed to hell, and that you must, by faith, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you can also understand that if someone here is held by Satan's hold and deceived, that, yeah, he can't say Jesus is Lord. Being filled with a demon. Yes. So verse 4. Notes are back there on the table for the Sunday school hour. All right, good to see you. Does Tuck make it too? Yes, Sunday school started right now. Yep, go ahead and have a seat. Yep, you're good. Now these are, so I'm reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to go through the notes. Now there are divisions of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And these are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as that it hath pleased him. And if they were of all members, where were the body? There we go. But now are they many members, yet by one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13 shares with us that there's going to be some of those gifts like healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues that are going to cease. And they did cease, and we have some of the gifts no longer, because there were some gifts that shared with Israel that God's now going to work with the Gentiles. And that was tongues and healing and things like that. But now that the word of God is here, that we have the scriptures, we don't need tongues anymore, which introduced the church, which began the church. And so things have changed. But let's go ahead here. Let's look at this, our notes here today, being the body of Christ. This here, I hope, will be an encouragement to you and a help. And I've got some exciting things to share with you. Here we go. Everybody has the worksheet, right? And here we go. Let's look here. First of all, let's look at our shape. Our shape. And as we look at our shape, first of all, point number one is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And you know, as we think about spiritual gifts, we think about helps. We think about mercy. We think about exhortation. We think about giving. We think about several different things found in Scripture dealing with gifts. And many people have asked the question, well, how can I know what my spiritual gift is? Well, let's just imagine that one day that you were invited to someone's house to partake of a meal, a nice, beautiful meal. And everybody, you're partaking, and the food is so good, and the hostess stands up when we're all done eating and says to us, keep your fork. And when you think about that, you know, hey, something much better is about to come, right? It's going to be a cake or maybe something, a strudel or something really, really good. And so they pick up all the plates, take it inside. You hold on to your fork, and she brings all these plates out for dessert. And as she's leaving, after she gets the plates all done, she kind of wrinkles up the rug as she goes through the door into the kitchen, and she grabs her cake, and as she comes through the door, she trips on that rug, and she falls flat on her face. The cake just goes spread all across the floor. It's a disaster. Now, three-second rule. There you go. You don't want this. I mean, it is splat. I mean, it is everywhere. Now, your response will tell you what your spiritual gift is. Because somebody is going to jump up that has mercy, going to come up and help her stand, brush her off. Somebody else is going to jump up and clean the mess from all that cake spread all around. Somebody else is going to jump up that has the gift of giving and is going to run down the store to Circle K and grab a box of donuts so that they'll have something special to eat at the end. And so there's someone with the gift of giving. The person that runs out with the gift of giving, somebody else follows along with him. And as this man's buying his donuts, that guy is outside leading some homeless individual to the Lord who has the gift of evangelism. And then they come back and they sit down and somebody has been sitting there in the corner. And you know what he's thinking? He's thinking, she should have been more careful. And that's why he's sitting in the corner not saying anything at the point, because he's got the gift of exhortation and encouragement. So as you think about gifts, think about that scenario, that story, and what would your response be? Do you have the gift of giving, evangelism, mercy, consultation, encouragement? Whatever that might be, that is your spiritual gift. And God uses each one of us in a very special way. Yes, that helps, doesn't it? Yes. So spiritual gifts, when we think about our shape, we think about, first of all, spiritual gifts and how God uses each one of us in a very special way. So then the H is heart's passion. So a spiritual gift, we seek out that spiritual gift, see what God would have us to do. But then what's our heart's passion? What are the things that we love to do? Things that we enjoy being a part of? Jumping in and being a part of certain things within the local church, like the food bank, raising funds for the school, being a part of the youth during children's church, whatever that passion might be. Certainly God can use each one of us. And then there's also the abilities, our natural abilities, the abilities that we have. If there are certain things that we feel uncomfortable doing, we don't have the ability to do those things, possibly that's not our spiritual gift. That's not where God wants us to be. So we think about our abilities as well. And then for the letter P is our personality. What's our personality? Are we quiet? Are we reserved? Are we, what's our personality? Are we someone that likes to speak to people in a small group? Maybe we should be a Sunday school teacher or involved in something to the side. Personality. And then E is our experience. Our experience. Things that we have done. Things that we've been involved in. And things like that. And then we will look at, any questions? Nope. No questions? All right. Here's the next one. Letter I, the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit. And verses 3 through 11, we've already read those verses. But he provides the miracle of unity. He provides the miracle of unity, the body of Christ. And also letter B, he provides a mosaic of giftedness. Each one of us are important. Each one of us have a special place. Just like later on, we're going to find out, you know, the hand can't look at the foot and say, I have no need of you. I mean, you wouldn't be able to get around. The hands, they're not going to walk for you. You got to have your feet in order to walk. So every individual in the local church has a very special place, a mosaic of giftedness. God knows. And number one, the gifts are given by God's grace. Given by God's grace. And then number two, let's see here. Number one, yes, here we go. Yes, Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Who would like to read those? It's on your notes. It's on your notes, so it's easier to see.
Is it on?
Yes, thank you.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
Yes. So the gifts are given by God's grace. And when it deals with prophecy, there are prophets, foretellers, and foretellers. A foreteller is one that proclaims something before it happens. A foreteller is someone like me who's preaching the word of God and putting forth. So that's prophecy dealing with someone on foretelling and not foretelling. Like Elijah was a foreteller, Elisha a foreteller, and others. And but a preacher, a prophet, one who preaches the word of God, the foreteller that proclaims what God has given to us. So the gifts are given by God's grace. And then number two, the gifts are given by God's will. And that is in Romans 9, verse 20. Who'd like to read that one?
Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me this?
Yes. So it's the gifts are given by God's will. And we might look at God and say, well, boy, didn't you make a mistake? And God says, no, I didn't make a mistake. I have you in the church for a purpose and for a reason. And don't look at God and say, hey, man, you made a mistake. Because God doesn't make mistakes. And it's for God's glory and for his will to be done. And then number two is this. The maturity of the body. The maturity of the body, and that's found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Colossians 1, 24. Who'd like to read that?
Who now rejoice in the suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
Which is the church, yes. Rejoice. And because of what Christ has done for us, the maturity of the body that we might grow. So letter A is we are many, yet we are one body. And that came through so clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But you also see it in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Who would like to read those?
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Mm-hmm. We're all one body. We're many, yet we are one body, the body of Christ. And here in the local church, to work together. We all have a purpose, and we should all be here so we can pray for one another, encourage one another, and be a part of the ministry. Letter B, we are mistaken when we compare. We are mistaken when we compare. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And clearly in 1 Corinthians, yeah, right here, 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read a couple verses here. 1 Corinthians, it comes very clear in 1 Corinthians 12, but let's also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Who would like to read those?
For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Yes, so God has a purpose for each one of us, and for us to compare and say, you know, I really wish I were them, or I really wish I had their talent, yet God has a purpose for each one of us, and we all fit into a purpose to, and the important thing is, and my encouragement is to be involved. Each one of us, when we're not here, it hurts because we miss those who aren't here. Important to be in the house of God. We're mistaken when we compare. You know, well, somebody else can do that. I don't need to be there to do that. Somebody else can do it. No, we need you. And it's important for each of one of us to be a part of what's going on. Letter C, we are made purposefully unique. As seen in 1 Corinthians 12, clearly, but also look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10.
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Yes. And then also letter D. We are meant for one another within the body. And that's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2.
Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Yes, I like that verse. It and I think mostly of Wednesday night. You know, when we come together and pray for one another, so important to be here and to share with one another what our prayer requests are, our needs, our anxiety, our wants. You know, it's hard to know what to pray for when one is not here. And it's so important to bear one another's burdens because, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when the body hurts, so when one individual hurts, so does the whole body. You know, same thing physically. You know, if you stubbed your toe and your toe hurts, you don't just walk away and say, well, that's nothing. Well, no, you hold on to that toe and you say, ow. At least you should. Because it hurts. The whole body hurts. There's a purpose for that. And the same thing with the local church. When somebody in the body of Christ hurts, we should pray for one another, encourage one another, and be there for them. All right, everybody got those blanks filled? Yep. Okay, here's the next one. Number three, the members of the church. And we can see that in Romans 12, but 1 Corinthians 12, 22 through 31, but also in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Who would like to read those?
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another.
Yes. So here's letter A. There is a mystery about the members. A mystery about the members found in verses 22 and 24, but also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And there's a few verses here. There's four, aren't there? There's a mystery.
For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Yes, very good. So there is a mystery about the members. You know, some things, Scripture says that he's chosen many foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't know enough about Scripture, you know, to answer any questions or to tell people about Christ. But yet, just the little bit that we do know. I mean, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know enough to lead someone else to the Lord. And so even though we might think, but hey, you know, I haven't been to Bible college. Who am I to try to tell somebody about Christ? Or who am I to try to get involved? But yet our experience and knowing Christ as our Savior is all we need to know. And yes, we have a desire to grow and to learn more and to become stronger in our faith. But right where we are, God can use sometimes our mistakes to really convict someone of their need of a Savior. I remember out in California there was a professional who made movies, and everything just had to be perfect. And so he went to a church service to see a Christmas play. And I mean, they just blew it everywhere. I mean, they just made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And they thought, oh, man, how can we reach anybody? But this professional who said everything had to be perfect, and I mean, his heart was just broken when he saw that God can use individuals who make all kinds of mistakes. It just tore him apart and brought him to Christ. And he realized his need of a Savior. And so sometimes those feeble things, those weak things that seem to fall all apart, God can use it for his glory. So there is a mystery about the members. God can do things through people that think, oh, that's impossible. I mean, God can't use me. Who am I? Who am I that God would use me? But God uses those who are willing to be used of God. And we are going to look at Gideon today. You know, God doesn't always use the most, how could you say it? God doesn't always use the most qualified. He qualifies those who are willing. He qualifies those who are willing. And, you know, so God doesn't always use the one that's the most qualified, the one who seems to be professional and does everything right. And sometimes God can't use them because they're so proudful that God can't use them. But he calls those who are the least qualified according to this world standard and uses them for his glory. And he does awesome things with them. So there is a mystery about the members. And then letter B, there is a ministry among the members in the body. There's a ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see that clearly in verses 12 and 26 of 1 Corinthians 12. But also look here in Ephesians chapter 4. Who would like to read those verses? There's a number of them. Hey, I can read those. Let me read those. Or somebody else got it. I'll read it. Says here, Ephesians 4, 12 through 6, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speak in the truth and love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is a ministry among the members. And so the purpose in being faithful in the house of God is that we might grow spiritually, that we grow stronger. Like verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There are people out there that are teaching falsehood. Lies. They're deceptive. Their eyes are blinded. And if we are so spiritually like a child and just follow every wind and every whim and every statement, we're just going to be like the wind tossed to and fro. But we want to grow spiritually and become stronger and to have those spiritual gifts and learn to love the Lord and to become stronger. There is a ministry among the members in the body to grow spiritually, to grow stronger, not to be tossed to and fro by every whim and doctrine. I remember, and this is just kind of interesting illustration. I grew up, as you know, around Mount Rushmore. And not too far from Mount Rushmore is Rapid City, which is about 20 minutes away. And in Rapid City, we have what is called Ellsworth Air Force Base. And they have all kinds of, during the time when I was living there as a child, they had the B-52s. Later on, they built a longer runway and a thicker runway and brought in the B-1 bombers, which is really neat to see flying around the Black Hills. That's a lot of fun. So anyway, up there at Mount Rushmore, there was this lady that was standing there, and there was some Ellsworth Air Force guys standing by. And this lady looked up at Mount Rushmore, and this is what she said. She said, "I wonder what they do with Mount Rushmore in the wintertime." And so one of those guys from Ellsworth just looked at her and said, "Oh, they just take it down to Ellsworth Air Force Base and put it in the airplane hangar." And she believed them. Said, "Oh," and she walked away. That had nothing to do with doctrine, nothing to do with the church. but it's to imply the gullibility of some people that they're like children tossed to and fro, believing everything and anything. We want to be faithful to the Word of God, study the Word of God, understand the Word of God enough as a whole to realize that when someone's lying to us, that we're not tossed to and fro by it. So there is a ministry, and that is to grow spiritually. And you know that's not going to happen if we're not here, right? If we're not here growing, if we're not here in church, it's just not going to happen. So then letter C, there is a master above the members. A master above the members. And that's in Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. Who would like to read those?
And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Yes, and put all things under his feet. Who's that? God, or specifically Christ. Yes. Remember, God the Father said, come sit on my right hand, and I'm going to make the world your footstool. Remember that? Yes. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the master above the members. And then letter D, there is a mission available to the members, and that's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through 30. And we've already read those, a mission, a purpose for being, a purpose. And you know, here our mission, of course, reach the lost, to be a lighthouse in this community, but also to help with the food bank and everything else that the church does, the Christian school and everything that it's involved. I hope this has been an encouragement, and certainly it's going to tie in really well with the message this morning on Gideon. God does not always use the most qualified, but he qualifies the willing. And that's Gideon. That's Gideon, a man who is spirit-filled, and God used him in a powerful way. Don't go anywhere, because we're going to learn more about Gideon. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today, for the Sunday school hour that we can study the purpose of the church. I pray that each one here today will say, hey, I have a purpose. There's a purpose for me. God can use me. And I want to be involved in this local church, be a part of what God's doing. And Father, we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Get a drink, use the restroom, but don't go anywhere. There's still more to come. Yes?
You notice that most of the answers begin with N?
Yes. Oh, look at this, the conclusion. I forgot this. Let me read it real quick. Dana already turned it off, but that's okay. Every believer has some gift, therefore all should be encouraged. Isn't that true? All of us have a gift, all of us. No one has all the gifts, therefore all should be humble. All gifts are for the body, therefore all should be harmonious. There we go, is it up? Yep. Harmonious. All gifts are for the Lord, therefore all should be contented. All gifts are mutually helpful, therefore all should be faithful. All gifts promote the whole body's health, therefore none can be dispensed with. And then number 7, all gifts depend upon the Holy Spirit's empowerment, therefore none should be out of fellowship with him. And those are neat little things to think about, and thank you so much. There we go. There's the ending. I was thinking I had one more thing there. All right. That. Oh. I don't need this for this next hour, do I? That's Sunday night.